the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Last week we looked at the God of Abraham, and so now the second in the series, if you like, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These three collectively are known as the patriarchs. That's a term that means ruled by the father. The tribe, the clan, the family was led by the father, be it Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. And although they had the land was promised them, that was a future promise. And so for now, their way of life was that they were nomads. They didn't possess the land now. It was a future promise. So they were living in tents. They didn't own the land. They just travelled around. Women, children, families, everybody, they just travelled around over the very thinly populated land between Mesopotamia and Egypt, just seeking pasture and water for their flocks and for their herds. And that was the patriarchal way of life. That's how it was for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, of these three, we know a lot about Abraham and we know a lot about Jacob, but we don't know a great deal about Isaac. Got a short sermon this morning, perhaps. In fact, it's remarkably little that we know about Isaac. We know, for example, he was miraculously born. His father, Abraham, was 100. His mother, Sarah, was 90. We know it was a miracle that he was born. We know that he was offered as a young man by Abraham on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. And we know that he was deceived in his old age when he was blind. He was deceived by his younger son, Jacob, who pretended to be Esau, the older twin boy. Other than that, there's no significant reference to Isaac other than this repeated phrase, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he's always referred to in conjunction with Abraham, his father, and Jacob, his son. But he's certainly very different to them. Well, certainly different from Abraham. Abraham, his father, was a man who was characterized by faith and obedience. You remember last week, God said, go, and Abraham went. Isaac, on the other hand, comes across not as a trailblazer like his father, but just an ordinary, undistinguished man, no outstanding characteristics. In fact, someone said, he is seen in Genesis as the ordinary son of a great father and the ordinary father of a great son. He's seen as just the ordinary son of Abraham, a great father, and he's just the ordinary father of a great son, Jacob. And that really is the point of our ministry today. I want us to be encouraged that the God of Abraham, the God of the great men of faith, the God of Billy Graham, if you like, the God of the great missionaries, the Wesleys, the Spurgeons, if you like, the God of Martin Luther, the God of these great men, he's also the God of Isaac, the ordinary, the simple, the Alan Thorpes, if you like, the run of the mill, the Abbotsham. I'm not being rude when I say that, but he's the same God. It's maybe worth taking that on board. You know, sometimes we hear sermons preached and we think, wow, and it, somehow it's out of our grasp. You know, it's we read books about, I don't know, George Muller, Gladys Aylward, these great people, C.T. Studd, and we think we're never going to attain that standard. We're never going to get there. So take a while this morning, have your Bibles open, and I want to point out what we do know about Isaac as being just ordinary, homely, human things. If you've got your Bible, Genesis chapter 21, and we read about his birth. Genesis chapter 21, verse 2 and 3. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave him the name Isaac. Isaac. So that's what we read about Isaac, that he was born. What could be more human than that? He was born. He was born. We read of him in chapter 22, verse 7, asking questions as a boy. Isaac spoke, this is chapter 22, verse 7, Isaac spoke and said to his father, "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied. This is when they were on Mount Moriah and the sacrifice. He said, "Here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the burnt offering?" We know the story. There was a test of faith, really, but he's asking questions of his father. Now that's a normal, a natural, a homely thing to do, isn't it? The boy comes up to the dad today. "Dad, can you help me with my homework?" Or "Dad, can you hammer this nail in for? Can you?" Just a normal. I'm hesitating there because the dad's happy to answer, but when the boy says, "Dad, where do babies come from?" It's then you say, "Ask your mother," but that's another story. But he's comes across Isaac as a homely, ordinary. We read of him thirdly, chapter 24, verse 63. Chapter 24, verse 63. I'm just finding it here. He's just going for a walk. He went out into the field one evening to meditate. He just went out for his daily exercise, if you like. Now, what could be more ordinary and more normal than that? The same chapter, verse 67, we read of him getting married. Chapter 24 and verse 67 are just an ordinary thing to do. Isaac brought Rebekah into his tent of his mother, and he married Rebekah. We read of him getting married. That's an ordinary, a natural, a homely thing to do. The same verse we read in verse 67, and Isaac was comforted by Rebekah after his mother Sarah had died. There is a possibility that Isaac was a bit of a mummy's boy, really, but he's missing his mum. That's what it says in verse 67. He's grieving. I'm labouring this, but I want to get the point over. He's just comes across as a human being, as a normal. We read of him in chapter 25 and verse 21. I hope you're following this through, because it'll make more sense if you are, that he's praying for his wife who's barren. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, Rebekah, because she was barren. Well, what's more natural than praying for a family member, be it a wife, a child who's struggling? Things aren't going to plan. We read of him in, again, chapter 25, in verses 21 to 26. We read of him becoming a father. And again, what's more natural than, well, it was twins this time, Esau and Jacob. But you see the point I'm trying to make. We've read of his birth, his growing up, asking questions, he's going out for a walk, he's getting married, and now burying his parents, and now becoming a father himself. In verse 28, we read of him again, just a normal human characteristic. He's enjoying his food. Verse 28, Isaac had a taste for wild game. He loved. Isaac had a taste for wild game. He loved Isaac, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Well, they shouldn't have had favourites, but he loved his food. He had a taste for wild game. Like we might say, "Oh, I love a Cornish pasty. I love a Hocking's ice." You know, he loved his. Well, what's more natural than that? What's more natural than this man, Isaac? Sorry, that was me turning the page over. But something. Here's something else more. Ordinary. He was grieved. Chapter 26, verses 34 and 35. He was grieved because he couldn't get on with his daughters-in-law. Verse 34 of chapter 26. When Esau, this is Isaac's son, was 40 years old, he married Judith, a Hittite, and Basemath, another Hittite. Verse 35, they were a source of grief to Isaac, to his parents, Isaac and Rebecca. Now, okay, Les Dawson made a career out of mother-in-law, but the humour is the truth behind it, because it happens. Here is an ordinary, I'll not say a usual thing, but a common thing, a normal thing that's happening in Isaac's life. He doesn't get on with his daughters-in-law. We see him getting old, chapter 27, verse 1. This is just a normal, Isaac was old and his eyes were weak, that he couldn't see very, very, very well. Just a normal thing. To age doesn't come alone, does it? They say that the older we get, things begin to wear out, spread out and fall out. Well, good job you can't see me on video this morning, isn't it? But it does with Isaac. He doesn't have those Cliff Richard youthful looks, youthful hair or skin. He's grown old. It's just a normal, ordinary things. Three more things, and then we're done, really. I say three more things. That sounds a bit better than saying twelfthly. But twelfthly, if you like, as he's towards the end of his life in chapter 27, we find him passing on his blessing, his will, if you like, telling his will to his family, passing on the family business, telling what he sees of the future. That's in chapter 27. And then in chapter 28 now, verses 1 and 2, we find him, again, an ordinary, everyday thing. He's telling his other son, Jacob. Esau's married these two Hittite women. They were a source of grief to them, but so he's advising Jacob to marry a suitable girl. This is what he says. Isaac, chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. That was a woman who was already in the land of promise before they went in. Don't marry this foreigner. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house, to our own kind of people. Like we would say, oh, marry a Christian if you like. You know, don't be unequally yoked. Esau's two wives, you know, they were a source of grief. It's probably dangerous to get involved with your children's life partner in one sense, but in another sense, it's... anyway, it happened. It happened. And then finally, if you like, 14thly, just a normal, ordinary illustration, we find him dying with the family round about him. We have to move over to chapter 35 for this, and verse 27. Jacob came home to be with his father Isaac in Mamre, and Isaac had lived 180 years old. He breathed his last and died, was gathered to his people, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. That's really Isaac's story. He lived and he died, and his family were around him. They, you know, when people die today, often the family say, oh, we got there just in time, or you know, the hospital phone, and we managed to see him one last. Well, Jacob and Esau managed to be home and they buried him. And sometimes I put pallbearers, sometimes families act as pallbearers. They just want to be there at the end. Well, I finished Isaac, really. Lots of verses. I've got no punchline to send you home. Sometimes people say, oh, he was good this morning, wasn't he? And the old lady said, yes, he was good. He made me feel awful. Well, I don't want anybody to feel awful. I want you to feel good. Feel good that Isaac was just an ordinary... He didn't do anything great in that sense or daring. He lived a very simple life, and yet God spoke to him. God confirmed the promise he'd given to Abraham. Be encouraged. We're all needed. We're not all trailblazers like Abraham, but the ordinary like you and me. This God is our God. This God of Abraham, this God of Isaac, and next week, this God of Jacob. Amen.